encouragement to them through the preaching of God's word. And tonight is a very helpful passage for us, a passage that is filled with encouragement. Romans chapter 12, we've been going through what I've called a family checklist as we've been in our family basics series. And in Romans 12, verses 9 through 16, Paul gives some admonitions, some things to be involved in as a well-functioning church. And I've taken them and just considered them in relation to our families, because if something is good for the church, it is also good for us and our families. And there's some specific ways, I think, that we can consider this tonight for the family, although larger spectrum, this is important for the church. And let's read through verses 9 through 16 again. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Stick to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And as we are going through this section, we're considering qualities that a transformed life, because of the gospel, can produce. Things that you can encourage people to be involved in, as Paul does, because of the effects of the gospel. Because of the transformation, chapter 12 begins with, I beseech you, therefore, because of the impacts of the gospel, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and that you be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And these are things that we can, because of the transformation that's taken place in our salvation, we can be involved with. And we've looked at seven of these already in verses 9 through verse 11, we've looked at it, and I'm just going to give you it two in really quick review. Number one, we saw we can have a love that is real, not that shallow or fake type, that without dissimulation in verse number 9. We talked about a passion for purity, that we abhor that which is evil and cleave or stick to that which is good, that we have a cherishing care, number 3 there in verse 10, be kindly affection, that we lead in humility, a leading in humility, preferring one another. By the way, is humility important in the family? In your marriage? Yes. And should I wait till the other person gets humble before I get humble? No, that's not how this is intended. This is you lead with humility. And that has a huge impact in our relationships, in our marriages, in our family, in children relationships, in our church. You lead with humility. I love that one. A diligent lifestyle we saw last time in verse 11, not slothful in business. That diligence, a lifestyle of diligence, and we saw as well, number 6, a boiling love, that you should be boiling, not mad, which is sometimes very easy for us to observe, but boiling with love. That verse says, fervent in spirit, and then serving the Lord, a servant mindset, number 7. And tonight, in verse 12, we're going to look at a triplet again, 3 admonitions that really are interwoven with each other. And they are possible only because of the gospel. The things that we're going to see in verse 12 are only possible because of the gospel and its impact in our lives. And I want you to notice verse 12 is a wonderful encouragement to us for times of trouble. Are there ever times of trouble in the home? Yeah. Are there ever times of trouble in the home that we feel personally, but we can share within the home? And I think it's important for us to recognize verse number 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. It sounds like these are, in verse 12, a little bit more of the personal kind of admonitions, as though they just reflect how I interact with myself. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Well, that has to do with others, right, Pastor? And kindly affection in verse 10, serving the Lord in verse 11. In verse 13, you have hospitality and distributing to others' needs and not being cursing of others but blessing others in verse 14. So you have all these outward-facing type actions around this passage. But I want you to notice tonight that verse 12 is not one of those, well, it's just about me type verses. It really is a verse that continues this idea of how I'm going to interact with others, how I'm going to share in difficulty even with others. And it's something that we as a church can grow in. I think as families, this is a thing that we need to learn more of, this matter of rejoicing in hope. And I want us to begin with number 8, if you're taking notes in the total of this, or number 1, if you're taking notes tonight for the first time. Notice with me in verse 12, a joyous hope. Number 8, if you're taking the total of these, a joyous hope. A joyous hope. In verse number 8, or verse number 12, it says, rejoicing in hope. And hope and the ability to rejoice in that hope is important. And people speak a lot about hope today. They hope in things that are very temporary, don't they? I hope it will snow. I've heard that around our house a lot lately. Now, is snow temporary? And is the expectation of that something that's very passing? Or, I hope my team will win. Have you heard that expression before? I hope I get a better job, someone might say. Or, I hope. And the substance of their hope, many times, is something temporary. Something that's just fleeting, that is only for a moment. For the Christian, our hope is in something eternal. That's why we can rejoice. Rejoicing in hope. If my hope was something that's only for a short period of time, or it's very fickle, it changes from moment to moment. I better stay on the microphone for those of you that are listening online. If my hope is in something that's just, well, it's only good as long as it's there, well, that's not something that's easy to rejoice in, because as soon as that hope that is fleeting is gone, I don't have anything to hope in anymore. But that's not true of the Christian. We looked at this morning, some in Romans chapter 1, regarding the fact that we don't need to be ashamed. But that we have an ability as Christians to rejoice in hope is something Paul reiterates again and again. And I want to take a look tonight at this, because what we hope in is not something that is temporary. Snow will melt, won't it, kids? Yeah, it doesn't stay, well, unless you're in Antarctica, right? And it just stays around forever. But the snow here, the hope of that snow, it's going to be here and then it's going to be gone. But this is not something that we have a hope in that's temporary. It's something that we have a confidence in. And Paul, in verse 11, the verse right before this, what does he speak of at the end of verse 11? Look at me at Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. What was the last thing that we saw? He spoke of what? Romans 12, verse 11. Serving the Lord. Now that word serving, I probably mentioned it last time, has the idea of being a slave to the Lord, of giving up one's rights, of being in the position of a slave. And you know why it is possible for one who is a slave to Christ, slave to the Lord, for them to have an expectation that's joyful? What's the reason for that? Because I know what's ahead. Why do I serve willingly as a servant of Christ? Well, because I know what's coming. I know what's at the end of that serving. You know, Christian, when you don't have a clear picture of what's ahead, serving becomes a drudgery. Serving becomes, I don't know if I have enough energy to do this. I don't know if I want to do this. That's not what we're looking at. We're looking down the road at what's ahead. This hope that we have is in our Savior. Look back at Romans chapter 5. And I want you to notice a couple things in Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Because Paul has spoken about the hope that we have not coming from an absence of pain or an absence of problems or an absence of trouble. And by the way, kids and adults, if your hope only lies in no problems or no pain or no trouble, you're going to be disappointed often. If your hope is in your Savior and your hope is in what's eternal, you can have confidence even when everything is going badly at the time, even though things seem very difficult at the moment. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have, what's the next word? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And what's the next statement he says? And, let's say it out loud, and rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope in the, of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, I know those verses are familiar to many of you, but do you recognize there's a reason why you can rejoice in hope, that you can have a joyful hope? What's the reason for it? Well, according to this, it's because of the reality that I'm justified. I'm in Christ, and I have an expectation of what's coming. I have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know that that's a place that you can be in often. I think one of the songs we sang tonight spoke of that expectation that we have. Many of our hymns are filled with expectations of what's to come. That's why we can, as a Christian, rejoice. Paul is looking at this and giving the church in Rome an encouragement that I think we need as well. Why we can rejoice in hope. The reason that Paul gives that they are not ashamed is that because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now, that's what motivates my service to him as a slave. Do you know that God loves you? I know that's kind of one of those, oh yeah, I know that God loves us. But God's love for you is the reason why you can have hope, because he's provided salvation for you. You know, my kids look forward to things. You know, when I tell them, hey, we're going to go on a trip somewhere, and they look forward to that expectation. Part of that expectation is in the fact that they know their father loves them, that we're going to do this for them. But you know that there is something far more valuable and exceeding great than a vacation in our salvation? Sometimes we just look forward to vacations. We hope for summer, or we hope for nice weather, or we hope for, and we get our mindset into just things that are really temporary, very quick. There's nothing wrong with hoping for a vacation, right, kids? Okay, yes, amen. There's nothing wrong with hoping in those things or looking forward to them. But you and I need to know, we can look forward to something far greater and exceeding more important than things here. You can rejoice in the hope that we have because of Jesus Christ. Look over at Romans 15. Romans 15. And these themes in Romans really do have a great importance. They keep coming up. Romans 15, verse 9. Romans 15 and verse 9. Now, I want you to notice in your Bible all the times that a theme regarding rejoicing or glorying or praising or singing come up. So, kids, I want you to look along with me. And every time we get to one of those that seems like rejoicing or praising or singing or glorying, I want you to say that word out loud with me, okay? So follow along in Romans 15, verse number 9. And when you get to one of those words that sounds like rejoicing or joy or praising or singing, I want you to say that word out loud with me. Ready? Romans 15, verse 9 says, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him with all ye people." And again Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Now, the Jew and the Gentile both are being reminded here that there's a reason for hope, that there's a reason for rejoicing in this hope, that both of them can. Christian, you know that it's a big deal for us to rejoice in the hope that we have. It's not a small thing. And by the way, it's something that we share in. We share in it through difficult times. But we share in it all the time as we face difficulty. And in Romans chapter 12, there's an encouragement to these believers. Because you've been transformed and you're in Christ, you and I are to be rejoicing. We're to be abounding. That word, abound in hope, means super abounding. Okay, I like super big things, like super-sized sodas. The 44-ounce, no, I don't drink them all the time. But if I'm on a trip, my wife will remember this. We'll go to the gas station, and instead of getting a soda, the 44-ounce thing, I'll fill it with ice, and then I'll go over and get a bunch of creamer, like the flavored creamer, French vanilla, and then I'll get coffee. Did you know you can make your own iced coffees at the gas station? I know, this is a shock, everyone. Why pay $3 or $4 for the little one when you can go make a gigantic one and then stir that thing up and go up to the cash register and tell them what you bought because it's coffee in this, and if they want to charge me more, I'm fine. I've got my 44-ounce hyper sugar overabounding in caffeine drink and I'm ready to drive. I haven't done that in a while, which is probably a good thing for my health, but that's the idea of huge, okay, biggie sizing. I don't think they say biggie size anymore, do they? That was the biggie size, okay? The idea of this super abounding, this abounding in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. In Romans 15, Paul wants these believers to know the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. Why is it important for us to abound in hope? Super abounding. I get the picture that it's not just for me to say, oh, I'm good. I know what I'm hoping in. This is just my hope. No. This is so amazingly great and grand that it doesn't just fit inside of me. You know who gets to drink the 44-ounce hyperly sugar coffee? It's not just Pastor Finney. Miss Lindsay gets to drink it too. And Alyssa might get a sip of it. And then some other kids, if I'm being very generous, right? I'll share this because it's a lot. Now, you know how incredibly great the hope is that we have in Christ? Is it able to be rejoiced in with just one Christian and, oh, I've rejoiced too much? I know this sounds really simple, but when the scripture says rejoice in hope, that statement ought to be something that's a part of your daily life, that's a part of your thinking. When we don't think about this, by the way, what kicks into our hearts and minds? If we're not rejoicing in the hope that we have, can we have doubts and fears and frustrations and not see clearly what's the correct way to think? Absolutely. Absolutely. Walking in the Spirit is a big part of this. You know, the Holy Spirit says, or it says here, through the power of the Holy Ghost. So I'm to have this joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Again, that transformed life is the reason why I can do this. And you say, Pastor, I just don't know that I've ever super abounded with the hope that you're talking about here and the rejoicing that follows that hope. I just don't know that I've ever felt that or known that. Well, can I encourage you? There's room to grow in your experience of what God intends to provide for you. Do you know that, Christian? Are there areas of your Christian life where you've grown to understand the Holy Spirit wants something and you didn't yield to what he wanted for a while? Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the... Okay, let me ask you something, and I want you to think really clearly here. The absence of hope is what? What is the absence of hope? What's the opposite of that? Fear. Sometimes hopelessness. Hope. Hopelessness is kind of the opposite. Despair. Is hopelessness and despair a fruit of the Spirit, or is it a manifestation of our flesh? Now, I mean this in sincerity. It's not that, Pastor, am I just supposed to be happy, happy, happy all the time? No, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the reality of what it is that I know. I have an expectation. Even though I'm in pressure and difficulty and trouble, I can still have a confidence in something, and that is something that the Holy Spirit of God wants to provide in us. It's not I work up my confidence, or I work up my hope, or I throw out my discouragement, or I throw out my fears or my even hopeless thoughts on my own. That's the work that the Holy Spirit wants to fill in our lives. Hopelessness is not the mindset of the Spirit. Can I say that again? Despair and hopelessness is not the mindset of the Spirit. Now, do you realize that we're always in a battle between what we're going to yield to, our flesh, or the Spirit of God? Does the Spirit of God desire for me to live in despair? No. No, never. Will I have feelings of great sorrow and grief or difficulty? Absolutely. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about here is despair and hopelessness with an attitude that is yielding to my flesh in an area that the Holy Spirit here wants to provide for me confidence, hope, and expectation. And it's all coming back to what I have in my salvation. And you know, sometimes we kind of revel in pity parties. Kids, have you ever seen a kid in a pity party?
Oh, everything's it's all awful. Everyone's against me.
You ever seen a kid do this? Oh, come on. Have you adults ever done this?
Oh, it's so hard. Woe is me.
I know, you're laughing right now, but if you're honest, has your flesh ever wanted to pity itself? Yeah. You know what the Christian needs to recognize? I can rejoice in hope. I don't have to stay in that position. I can recognize my position in Christ and by the Holy Spirit. And that is the key here. These things are produced in their effective way by the Holy Spirit of God. He wants to enable me with this kind of rejoicing in hope. So we have a joyous hope. We have another thing, going back to Romans chapter 12. I better keep moving along here. A second thing in our study in Romans 12, verse number 12, rejoicing in hope, a joyous hope. And then secondly, or number 9 in the total list, patient in tribulation. I want you to notice a patience through pressure. A patience through pressure. That word tribulation is the idea of pressure. And you and I need to recognize we can have a patience through times of pressure, which these build on themselves. This triplet here of an expectation of hope, a joyous hope, and a patience through this pressure is important. We live in a time when Christians are being told you can pray away your problems. The prosperity theology, I mentioned that a little bit this morning, is very, very, very popular. Think positive thoughts. Joel Osteen comes to mind. And I know some of you maybe have watched him, and some of you online might be listening and saying, why are you picking on him? Well, because in part, he encourages this idea of God's got good and plans for you, and everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be happy. Smile a little bit more. You know what? It is a little bit warm in here. Could you turn down that thermostat there on the left? Yep, the far left one. There you go. Yeah, when it's the wintertime and we're hot, it's tough. Okay. The preaching's getting hotter here at New Life Baptist Church. Okay. The reality is this prosperity theology, people like to think that trouble is always bad. And God doesn't want you to experience trouble. God doesn't want you to go through problems. And I'm going to tell you this, the Bible clearly teaches otherwise. We are to expect trouble. We are to expect difficulty. We are to expect pressure against us constantly. And there's a necessity for patience as we wait for the thing that we hope for. This life is the place of pressures and infirmities, and we don't know how to view them often. We often say, how does this fit into God's plans? Because we don't know. And we looked at this on Wednesday night. The reality that oftentimes we don't know. And that's why we pray, not my will, but thine be done. I don't always see how. And that's why patience is so important. Today, Julie Olivo shared with me a testimony of some folks that today, they heard, had trusted Christ as their Savior that were at the funeral the week before. I think 7 folks that were part of the family of, is it your cousin? Is that correct? Yeah, Julie's cousin. That's tremendous, isn't it? Now, God's working to bring a reality to them that there's a need, a great need for their souls. Okay, that's just a little part of the picture that I can see right now, but there's a whole lot more that I can't see. And that's how I'm to constantly be viewing the life that I live, and that you're to be living, is that I can't see everything, and that I'm to have patience with what I can't see. Kids, is it hard to be patient sometimes? Is it hard to be patient with others? Yeah. Is it hard to be patient with others when there's pressure? Do others ever cause pressure in the home? Husbands, wives, have you ever felt pressure or felt the pressure that comes in relationships? Yeah. Can I remind you, ultimately, as a Christian, that patience is what we're told to be patient in tribulation. That we're not supposed to say, I don't like the trouble. I just wish all the trouble would go away. That's not biblical thinking. What is our culture doing all the time, by the way, in this way? What do kids do if they don't like the pressure at home? I can't wait till I grow up and I can leave home, right? Because the pressures will all be, is that true? Baloney. You're going to face pressure somewhere else. What do marriages? Well, there's just so much pressure in our marriage. So the culture says, end your marriage. Just stop it. If it's too hard, just give up on it. Friend, that thinking is everywhere. Just give up. Just try another way. Try another kind. Can I tell you that is not the way that you're to view life? Don't give up. Don't say it's just too hard. I just can't do this. Friend, we're told here to be patient in tribulation. Romans 8, I've mentioned this before, but if we hope for that we see not, verse 25 says, then do we with patience wait for it. And I've mentioned this verse, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. As I go through difficulties, I recognize I don't always know how to deal with that. You may have a brother or sister that you don't know how to deal with. You may have a family member that you don't know how to deal with. You may have a church member you don't know how to deal with, or a relative that you don't know how to deal with. Do you know that the Holy Spirit of God knows how to pray and to intercede on your behalf in that situation? And that we are to wait with patience, wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know that as you go through difficulty with other people, you can rely upon God's help. We are to rely upon God's help. We are to see that continually. I want to tell you a story, okay? I told you I like to read biographies with our kids. This is a part of a story that Hudson Taylor told. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China, and once he described his daughter Gracie's heartfelt prayer for a Chinese man that they saw making an idol. They were out, and they saw this man making an idol, and Hudson began to share the gospel with this man, and the man rejected what was being shared. And after he rejected what was attempted to be shared with them, Hudson and his daughter stopped by a tree and sang a hymn together and prayed. Now, by the way, that's just as a note thing. That's a very helpful thing to do. Do you think that there was frustration that this man rejected their message? Potentially. Or could there be a heart-wrenching thing? I want to see people come to know faith in Christ. And what's going on here? Why? And it's noteworthy. Taylor said, the dear child went on and on pleading that God would have mercy upon the poor Chinese and would strengthen her father to preach to them. And Hudson says, I was never so moved by any prayer. Words fail to describe it. He said, Gracie Taylor and her prayer were an encouragement to him. There was a continuing on even when it seemed like opposition was coming from everything. You know how old Gracie was? Gracie Taylor died just after her 8th birthday. Now think of that for a minute. A little girl, 7, almost 8, out with her dad, as she's hearing him share the gospel, and she's burdened when somebody rejects it, and she's praying for them. And by the way, parents, your kids can pray for the people that are lost that need Christ. And there's nothing sweeter to this pastor than hearing children, and my kids in particular, praying for people that are lost and praying for people that need help. And their honesty, they're very blunt with what they know God is able to do and what they're asking him to do. Hudson Taylor wrote shortly after his daughter died, back to a friend in England, "Beloved brother, the Lord has taken our sweet little Gracie to bloom in the pure atmosphere of his own presence. Our hearts bleed, but above the rest, this note shall swell, our Jesus has done all things well," he sent. The gardener came and plucked a rose. You know what Hudson Taylor realized? Even in the heartfelt tragedy of losing a little girl, God has a plan and I can trust him. And I'm amazed at how deeply seated both Hudson and his 8-year-old daughter's care for things beyond this life were. To most 8-year-olds, what's their greatest concern or interest? The next level! Now, there's nothing wrong with playing games, kids. I love playing Stratego with my boys. I love games, okay? But there's nothing of more importance, and I want them to always know, and parents, you ought always keep this at the forefront. There's nothing of more importance than things that are of eternal value. And that Hudson and his daughter both had a focus on things that were of eternal value is why he could go through a difficulty, a tribulation, a pressure, and why she could with an eternal perspective. That's patience, by the way. That's patience in tribulation. I think it's so important for us to have that same mindset. We don't hope alone or endure patiently alone. You can share in that. You know that Hudson and his daughter were sharing in that patient hope. They're praying together and they're singing a hymn together, is encouraging each other in what their hope is for. By the way, as we come together and meet here each week, why do we do that? Well, we're told to, but what is accomplished in that? We encourage each other as we patiently wait for Christ. We do. We encourage each other as we patiently work to accomplish his plans, which is the sharing of the gospel with others. Do we need encouragement in that waiting? Absolutely. It's exciting right now to see that there's 20-some folks that come out to go and share the gospel with people, and that I hear your stories of telling others in your family about Christ, and some that write notes, and I'm encouraged all the time by that. But what if we never talked about that? Would it be a little bit discouraging as we patiently endure to accomplish what God wants to think I'm the only one? We talk of it because we need to be encouraging each other in this. And this patience is an important aspect. Patience through pressure, because we do need help. And finally, in this passage in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and then finally, a continuing instant in prayer, a perseverance in prayer. And all three of these interconnect, because it is my hope that I look forward to in the need of the hour during tribulation or pressures that come, and it is a perseverance in prayer that I share in that with others, that I share in that with my God, a continuing instant in prayer. It is absolutely necessary to continue constantly in prayer when we are in a world that is bombarded like we are, a bombardment constantly with opposition and pressures. And while we wait and rejoice in God's plans, we will require time before him to accomplish that. You need to be spending time with God in prayer. You need to be spending time with God in prayer, in perseverance, asking for his mind on how to accomplish what he wants, asking for direction about how to say no to my flesh and yes to the Spirit. There's constantly things that I don't know how to get through. In fact, if there's anything that being a pastor these past almost 3 years has taught me, it's that I need a lot of help. And your pastor prays for help a lot. and I don't know how to do things. And I pray, I don't know how to do this. And you know what? That's what every one of us ought to be doing. I don't know how. I don't know how. I need help. There's not one person in here that doesn't need help. Child of God, you need help. Ask. Continue in prayer. Continue instant in prayer. That as soon as the problem comes, pray. There's no need to wait and say, wait, I'll take this to prayer request time on Wednesday night. Sure, but you can pray about it right this moment. You need to be in that kind of instant mindset with prayer. And that's not just a pastoral thing to do. That's every one of us. Every one of us can be involved in that kind of prayer. The exercising of your faith, as we talked about on Wednesday night. Prayer takes my anxieties and my fears and throws them to the one who can help, to the one alone I'm trusting to help, an all-knowing, all-caring, and all-sufficient help of my Savior. And that takes time, doesn't it? Praying instantly requires, I say, no to sometimes momentary demands that I just want to sometimes drown out the problems with. This can be a great tool, but it can also be a great distraction to your focus on, okay, I see a problem, now what am I going to do with it? I'm going to communicate with God. I'm not going to drown it out with other things. We live in a time where it's very easy to drown out our minds and just, I don't want to think about much. I don't want to think about it. I want to put stuff out. No, I need to talk to God. I need to communicate with Him. Parents, and this is family basics, so let me encourage you parents about this. We can be involved more with training our young people, our kids, how to pray. If Hudson Taylor had done anything well in his parenting that you can read in the story that we just shared, did his daughter know how to ask God for things? Yeah. Your kids can ask God for big things. They can probably, and you'll be surprised to know those parents, ask God better for big things than you can. You know why? Because they're not cumbered down with all of the things that we think we've got figured out and know. They have what kind of faith? Childlike faith. I know that's such a shock, isn't it? But I love it when my kids pray for the guys who come and play basketball. I love it when I hear them praying for people who are hurting. I love it when I hear them praying for people who have gotten saved here at New Life Baptist Church. You know, that's something your kids can do. You can pray for people. Pray for a neighbor. Pray for someone that you know. Pray for a relative. I've told you Wednesday night, I prayed growing up for my grandfather a long, 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 long time. And while my grandfather never, to my knowledge, put his faith in Jesus Christ, does that mean I shouldn't have been praying? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Did I share my faith with my grandfather, and was that helpful to me being a witness to him? And could he have heard that and made a decision to put his faith in Christ because of what he heard? Absolutely. I don't know. But I do know this. Our kids can pray. And I would encourage you parents, just a thought, while it says continuing instant in prayer, and I believe that that's all throughout the day, start off with prayer. Prayer in the morning. Prayer at meals. And when you pray for things at meals, don't just pray, thank you, Lord, for this food. Pray for something that's a need that you know of someone else. Pray for another member of our church. I know that it's a small thing, but encourage your kids to come up with a new person to pray for that they've not prayed for yet. And let them have an awareness of who's around them. Okay, who have you not thought of yet? Guess what that'll also help you parents with? Who is in our church that I've not prayed for? I know that's like, ooh, now I got to figure out who people's names are. And I've been encouraged, by the way, when you all come to me and say, now, Pastor, who's that person? Now, what's their name? The more that that happens, the more I know you're healthy, church. You see the smile on my face? Some of you need some health in this area, okay? If you don't know who someone is, you ask. And I'm not going to say, what? You don't know? They've been here for years. No. That's what we do. We need to grow. We need to know. And we pray for others. And you can pray for others in your family. Pray before bed. Let the last thoughts of the day with your children be the things that you're asking God for. be the things that they're thanking God for. I love it when my kids start thanking God for things, and it's for my bed and for my pillow and for my blanket and for our cat, and it goes on and on. And I'm being serious with you. There's nothing wrong with any of that. Nothing. You know what they're not taking for granted? Anything. And you need that. And I need that. You have a lot you take for granted, don't you? When's the last time you thank God for your pillow? I'm being serious. You know what? Paul was thankful that someone brought him a coat. He was thankful for that, and he made mention of it in a letter in the Bible. I think there's no thing too small for you to thank God for in your praying. And you know what that all reflects? An attitude that says, God, I'm looking to you for the provision of all this stuff. I'm going to trust you with all this. And that's the heartbeat of a Christian. That's a healthy Christian. A healthy Christian is instant in prayer. A healthy Christian is one who is patient and is continuing in patience. A healthy Christian is a joyous, hope-filled Christian. I didn't say happy, 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 happy because everything is going well. That's not what we mean when we say a joyous hope, okay? What we're talking about is I have a certainty about what's ahead, and because of that, even in the midst of great heartache and trouble and trial and grief, I do have hope, and I know where it lies, and I know that he is faithful. And you know what, church, that's exciting for us to live out. And a healthy home reflects these three things. It encourages it. Have you ever seen another Christian who has these things? I can think of a number of people in my youth who, in my church growing up, I saw some of these things. If something came up, they were the first person to say, let's pray about that. You, by the way, any of you can be that person. That is not a complicated gift or talent to just say, let's pray about that. Something comes up, let's pray about that. You can do that. I remember people in my church, that was the thing that they did. Whenever something came up in a conversation, let's pray about that. I remember people in my church growing up, older Christians, who they had a lot of difficulties, but they continued to be patient. There wasn't I guess we got to do this again. No, there was a patience in that. And there was a rejoicing. You ever seen a person with a smile on their face who knows what's ahead? Who knows where we're going? I think sometimes we think, well, some people are just gifted at being giddy and happy. That's just their personality. That's not what this is about. This rejoicing and hope is something that you can tell. They know what this life is about, and they know where they're going. And every young person needs that example in us adults, and every kid, you can have that attitude as well. You can have the attitude that is rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. Let's begin with that tonight. All right, let's conclude the service tonight with this in mind. Why don't I encourage each of you, where you sit, to take a moment and rejoice in the hope that you have in Christ. If you know Christ as your Savior, take a few moments and thank God, rejoice, praise, lift up what he has done that provides you hope of what's after this life. If you know you have life after this, eternal life, rejoice in that for a moment. Take a moment and praise God for that. Secondarily, if you're going through trouble, persecution, pressure, you've felt pressure from other people or from circumstances, ask God, help me be patient through that. Help me not live in despair. Help me to be patient through that. Ask God for that and continue instant in prayer. You're immediately going to God when things. And I would encourage you maybe even to say, God, help me throughout this week to be more instant in my prayer life, to be quick to say, let's pray, to say to even our own spirit, I need to give this to God right now. All right? So let's take a moment and talk to God about these three things and let them become part of our thinking throughout this week. Would you do that with me? Let's bow for prayer. We won't have a come forward invitation or any instruments tonight, but let's just take a few moments to talk to the Lord God. God, I thank you that we could see this truth tonight and be reminded of the fact that you've given us a hope and an expectation, and that we can rejoice in that through difficulties, through troubles, and that we can share this so quickly with prayer to you, and that we can do so on the behalf of others as well through difficulty and encouraging them in the hope that we have in our Savior. I pray that this week ahead you would grow us in this, that we would yield to the Spirit who desires to remind us continually of this abounding hope, that we wouldn't allow our flesh to get clouded and distracted from the hope that is most important, and that is our eternal destination, that this life is not all that we live for. Help us to be removed from the distraction of this life. It is so consuming, it is so much in our minds all the time. Help us to see where our treasure lies. Help us to see where our home is, and that it is in heaven, and it is with our Savior. And I pray that you'd be glorified as we continue in patience and as we continue in prayer. And we'll thank you for how you'll grow us in our families this week.